victory.
Oh, victory is mine.
Hallelujah.
Yes, victory. Oh, victory is mine. Victory.
Victory.
Victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. I know if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles,
yes.
Victory, oh, victory. Mine.
It's all mine. Oh, yes.
Victory. The victory is mine. Oh, victory. Oh, victory is mine. If I hold my peace, then let the Lord fight my battles. Victory. Victory is mine.
One more time.
Victory. Victory is mine. Oh, victory. Victory is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, oh, victory is mine.
This revelation that I have,
this revelation I have is mine.
All mine.
This revelation I have is mine. I know if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Yes, victory, oh, victory is mine. I know if I hold my,
just hold it,
and let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, oh, victory is mine. Joy I have is mine. I know if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, this joy that I have is mine.
We can say salvation, hallelujah.
Yes, salvation I have is mine. Yes, I have is mine. I know if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, the salvation I have is mine.
Victory.
Oh, yes, victory. Victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory, oh, victory is mine.
Amen. Amen, amen. Wow.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
You know, it's a push to get here.
Sure.
You know, and when you get here, you can just let go.
Yeah.
You know, Satan's been trying to get at me all day, but you know, it don't matter what he tries to do. He's just a bluff. That's all he is. He's a liar.
He's doing his job.
And you know what? I'm here.
I'm gonna do my job, right.
I'm here. You know, and I wanted to lift up Brother John. We were on a pretty tough job, and you know, it had to get done today, and you know, he's still out there sacrificing. I didn't want him to get rebuked or in trouble or anything. So I'm backing him up, you know, because that's my brother. Yeah. And, you know, I love that man, you know. He hooked me up so I could be here tonight. So yeah. I'm going to give everything I got, you know. I'm not holding anything back, you know.
Right.
Yeah, God's been so good to us, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even count. But I just want to sing a song. Let me get something in here.
Well, while he's getting that song together, I want to sing God Has Smiled on Me. Yes. I'm looking forward to the services tonight. Brother Peter, I'm looking forward to part two. I know we got part three tomorrow if we make it.
Oh, my.
But part two, I'm looking forward to it. I love it when the chef tells me what's going to be on the menu. You know, I'm one of those kind of people that likes to know. Like, I like to see what the entree is going to be, the appetizer, and what the dessert is. So when he told us it was a three-part thing, it lets me know that even if I had a question, I can come back here and I'm going to get the answer. And I look forward to that. So I'm looking forward to what Brother Peter is going to preach. I'm just excited, brother. I'm glad you made it here all this way. You know, it's good to have fellowship. Yes. You know, you talk about having a brother that's standing in the gap for you so you can work. We're standing in the gap for a lot of other people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here because my family can't be here. Yeah. You're here because your family can't be here. You're representing all parts of the world. I mean, you got Kentucky, Hawaii, Indiana. Yeah. We're all over the place. This bride is moving. And so, you know, we got people from Nigeria tuning in, or Tagalog, or Philippines, or wherever it is.
Amen.
Wherever the bodies is, that's, you know, so we were walking in, and Brother Ted said, good morning. And then Sister Ramona said, yeah, Brother Brandon would say, good morning, bride. Because it's good morning no matter when it is right now. It's the morning somewhere. You know. Jimmy Buffett would say it's 5 o'clock somewhere. But I'd say it's good morning somewhere. And it's for the good morning to the bride, you know. And then when we finally get out of here, it'll be a great morning. But right now I'm not gonna be thinking about tomorrow so much. I'm thinking about today.
Yes.
You know, I'm looking forward to what God has done for me today. So I love singing that song, God Has Smiled on Me. We sing that if you guys don't mind.
Yes.
But I'm just looking forward to the service. I'm happy to be here. Amen. One more chance to black the Satan's eye.
That's
right. Take advantage of the time.
Man.
Take advantage of the time. You know, I know how this movie ends, you know. So I'm just enjoying my victory walk.
Yes.
That's what it is right now.
Yes.
I'm strutting like Conor McGregor. I'm walking around saying, Satan, you thought you had me.
Right.
You know, you thought I wouldn't make it. You know, that's how that song goes. I'm still holding on. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today, but I'm still standing. I'm still holding on to God's unchanging hand. So, you know, you can say whatever you want, but I'm still here. You know, so I still made it. You know, and I remember one of the times I would say there, I'd be, man, if I could just stand up. If I could just stand up and I get my leverage, I can hit Satan right back.
Yes.
Right back in his mouth. Because he's going to do his job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But now I can stand up, I can do my job.
Yes.
You know, and I'm thank God for that. And we all got a job to play, you know. So we all got a part to play. So I look forward to that. Let's sing that. God Has Smiled on Me. Key of G.
Key of G.
Yes, God has smiled on me. He has set me free.
Yes, I know
God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. To me, he's my all in
He's been good to me.
A light unto.
A light unto my path is he. Without him I would fall. No, I don't know what he means to you, but to me he's my all in all.
Yes, I know,
yes,
my God has smiled on me.
Earlier today, woke up thinking about this, actually, you know, about freedom.
Freedom.
You know, singing that song, he set me free.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the world's idea of freedom, freedom without an understanding, just rebellion, chaos.
Right.
You know, everybody just free in whatever they think, whatever they want. But this freedom, revelation brings this freedom.
That's right.
And understanding brings this freedom, you know. He said, as you know, the truth.
Yeah.
The truth is what sets you free.
Yes.
You know, thinking, what a difference.
Wow.
You know, to understand what a true freedom is.
Amen.
I'm free from condemnation.
Yes.
Free
yes.
from fear. I'm free from sin. Free from unbelief.
Yes. Yes.
That's
free
the freedom I enjoy.
Yes.
That's the freedom I love. Yes. I really appreciate this revelation.
Amen.
This understanding.
Amen.
This without a balance, you have no freedom.
Right.
But a balance brings freedom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
Hallelujah. Good to be here tonight. You know, I appreciate you, Brother Okeo, and talking about Abraham and Sarah, that's exciting for the bride because we're excited about our body change too, and I'm excited to just keep walking into that word. And
yes.
I was just thinking today, just really quickly, I'm just been honored to walk with this bride.
Amen.
I really mean that.
Yeah.
You know, whether we leave today or 10 years, it doesn't matter. God's let me walk with this bride, and it's been an honor for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I think about when we get to that side. We'll have the whole body, but I always look at this little 1744 group.
Right.
And I'll be like, those are the people that walked with me.
That's right.
Yeah. They helped me overcome.
Sure.
And I'm just thankful to be here tonight.
Amen.
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 I was thinking about what all has been preached and looking at the world condition. And it reminds me back in college when I was doing a math question, and I actually enjoyed math. But I would get to a point where sometimes my equation would be just so far off that you just had to wad it up, throw it away, and start all over. That's where the world is right now.
Yeah.
There's only one thing we could do to help the world, and that's to leave.
Yeah.
Let them do what they're going to do.
Sure.
It's time for us to go. And as Pastor Moore said multiple times, not only is there just one thing left on our plate, but it's us realizing we don't have to be here anymore.
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
We really
That's a
don't.
Revelation.
Let's help the world out and let's get ready to go.
Amen.
There's nothing else going to save them. They're so far crazy.
Wow.
They're not going to listen to sound doctrine or reason.
No.
So it's almost time for us to just do the world a favor, leave and let man do what man's going to do anyway.
Amen.
And there's nothing going to stop it anyway.
That's right.
It's already been prophesied.
Amen.
And I was just thinking that it's time to just wad it up, throw it away, count losses, and just walk away from all this.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God
bless
you. God bless you, brother. Go ahead.
Yes.
Amen.
God's
Amen.
Too good not to say something.
That's true.
Amen. I just praise him so much.
Amen.
You know, Dawn and I were talking, you know, someday, one day, that is really going to happen.
Really will.
And you look at what's going on with Israel, and you know, I know when God does stuff, you know, it really happens.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and you look at that and you say, could it be?
Right.
You know, you get excited. You know, you feel for humanity. There's no question. You know, and you know, all of this that's happening, you know, we've talked back and forth, and we talk about in the old Bible, God would have them go in and kill everything. Animals, everything. And I just praised God because I said, Lord, can this be it? Can this be it? And I praise God so much, you know, and you read in the Bible, you see what Jesus did. And we have just said, that's us. Yeah. Just like Jesus knew who he was. Right. And Jesus fulfilled scriptures.
Yes.
And when someone looks at me and they question who I am, I say, look at the scriptures.
Yeah. You gotta testify.
Look at the scriptures. I am fulfilling scriptures. And just as much as Jesus knew, I don't walk with confusion.
No.
I don't walk with doubt.
I know.
And just like Jesus, he walked into that willingly.
Yes.
And I walk into this willingly to manifest that word of God.
Amen.
And you know, and I thank God that he's not done with me yet.
Amen.
You know, it was 2 years ago that Satan tried to kill us.
Yeah.
But God said, I'm not finished with you.
No.
So I don't want to sit down on him.
Oh, no.
He spared me, so I want to be used.
That's right.
And my other prayer is, Lord, touch my voice.
Amen.
Because I want to sing. I want to support the song leaders.
Yeah.
I want to get into the service. You know, and if I have to do it with a rasp voice, I'm going to do it. If I have to talk it, I'll talk it.
Amen.
But the one thing I'm not going to do is be held back held down.
That's
I'm going to push through it all.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Sister Michelle. Oh, sorry.
Prefer my sister over myself. But I just want to thank God so much for being here. Those two songs were just so resonated with me that God has smiled on us.
Yes.
You know, from the foundation of the world, he has smiled on me, and I'm so thankful. And then the other thing is, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, that resonated with me so much. I don't have to defend myself. My husband defends me.
Right.
He fights my battle.
He fights my battles. And I was just like, oh my goodness, that was just so strong. And I'm just so happy to be here. And I'm just so thankful for all that he has done for me, how he has brought us out. Words can't even express. And I'm just so full today. I'm so happy for my brother to be here.
Amen.
We have a long history.
Amen.
This guy sure can preach.
Yes, he can. Yes,
and I'm just so revelated. I'm just so excited. I just wanted to stand here and I just wanted to say thank you, Lord. I just wanted to give him praise and thanks. Because he has already done it.
The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. But though this generation spurns God's revelations, we'll walk where the prophets have trod.
And, you know, God has brought me, as they say, a mighty long way. I'm still holding on to his hand. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. But here I am. You know, I didn't do any of this. I didn't call myself. He said in his word, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Oh, my soul's rejoicing. It is a privilege, it's an honor to be with you people,
Amen.
To be counted among the bride of Jesus Christ. And the only one that knows in this hour that the rapture is going on or those that are in it.
Amen.
I think about the scriptures and I think about the things that you guys preach all the time. One of the, my favorite things is thinking about how God does things and you don't feel anything. You don't see nothing. He burned out my old soul. I didn't feel a thing. A brother prayed for me one time. I got healed and I was healed. I didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
Woo. And then a revelation came to me of who I am, this word. Oh, it didn't feel a thing.
That's right.
Think about how, what was his, Noah, he sat in the ark.
Yeah.
Those people were doomed.
Yeah.
They didn't accept what God had for them. 120 years or 25 years or whatever, he preached to them. Not a one of them turned in. And then one day, he drove the last nail, and then that was finished.
Yeah.
That was done. The animals went in. That was done. What happened to the rest of them? They died. Then Noah and his family went in, and the scripture said, God closed the door. Noah
that's
didn't
right,
do it.
That's right.
And guess what? They sat there.
Yeah.
Now, those 7 days, when they went in there, they didn't know how long it was going to
right.
be. But it looked like, well, the sun came up. The birds still sang. They gave in marriage. They were given in marriage. Looked like nothing was happening. But it was done.
Yeah.
Look at this hour. Well, God is walking on earth again.
Yes.
Who knows it? Who knows it? I'm mighty glad to know what I know.
Amen.
I am the final voice to the final age. We are the last time God's going to speak
That's
to
it.
The Gentile generation.
That's it.
Sometimes I lay in the bed. Sometimes I said, this is so big, you can't even swallow all of it. I give Amen. God praise and I thank him. I don't want to take up no more time. But know this, I'm one of them. Know this, I'm healed. And what the Lord says I am, I am.
Amen.
That's
right.
That's right.
Look at these.
I like giving one song if I could.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
We got time.
Amen.
We got time.
I have Mike and Levi come help me if they want. But I have a reputation at home where I get a song I like, I play it to death.
And, do it.
But this song means a lot to me.
Amen. Right.
So I'm going to sing it. Make a joyful noise, at least.
That's all we
need. And, I know I do love God, and he's been good to me,
yes.
And he's worthy of every bit of praise that I could give him, and so I want to praise him a little bit more.
Amen.
Kibe, you guys have seen the whole thing with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Been my fourth man in the fire time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on trusting God,
my
Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Yes, I trust in God. This is my song.
That song. Just want to get some announcements out of the way here tonight. We got Brother Peter O'Kale.
Amen.
And then we have services tomorrow. Brother O'Kale will be preaching, and then a dinner following afterwards, and Bible study. So plenty of fellowship tomorrow. And we have
that's next week.
Next week is the knitting class as well. So Thanksgiving services is on November 19th, and then Pastor Moore. And brother,
Thanksgiving dinner, isn't it? Yeah. Thanksgiving dinner, not service.
Oh,
just
Thanksgiving
right.
Dinner, sir.
We'll have services.
Well, yeah. There'll be a huge service.
Family dinner.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. And Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah, they're gonna be visiting San Diego Church, December 1st through the 4th, and then New Year's services on Sunday, December 31st. Man, this year is over.
Yeah.
My goodness. Praise God.
Well, amen.
Let's sing song 98. We need to hear from you.
Amen. Oh.
Go ahead. We got one more.
Thank God for being in the house of the Lord. Had an interesting day. Well, today and yesterday. But yesterday, I was able to was cut my grass yesterday, and a gentleman was driving around. I noticed him driving around, looking around. And the one thing about me, I watch everything. I do.
Amen.
And I watched him. He kept looping around, and he stopped me. And he said, hey, you know how to get to Lowe's? And he's from Bell Fountain. And long story short, we get to talking. He's a Jehovah's Witness. And we're talking and stuff. And, you know, I was looking pretty rugged yesterday. I mean, I was. I was just cutting grass. I wasn't trying to be pretty. Just trying to get the job done. And he's like, you know, it's sad to see what happened in Israel. I was like, yeah, it is very sad. And, you know, we were talking. And he was telling me, he said, you know, if you want to know more about God, you can go on the internet and stuff. And I'm like, you know. I said, yeah. You know, I had to kind of like, I didn't want to make it feel bad. This is right. Make the sense.
Right.
I just thank God that we have a balance here. I don't have to go on the internet and get an answer. You know what I mean? I thank God for that because, you know, he's doing the best he can. You know
sure.
What I mean? And and God knows that. And you know, the last thing he said before he left, he said, you're a good man. And I said, you know what? The thing about me that you see him good is just God. That's not me. And you know, God sees that, and I thank God for that because
Amen.
We have a true balance here. We know what's going to happen.
It's
you have to be inhumane if you think what's happening in Israel is not, you know, not just you can just you shrug your shoulders like nothing. That's just nothing.
Right.
You know, that's nothing. It's sad. It really
yeah,
is.
Man,
I mean, it's a sad thing because just imagine your family just getting killed like
that's
animals.
Right.
I mean, it's a touchy thing. It is. And I when the news comes on, I have to turn it because it tears me up. I can't even look at it. But I know it has to come this way because. You know, the bride knows, and I'm glad we have answers to this
Amen.
World. I'm glad that we have that, and the world doesn't have that, and you take it for granted, and I thank God that we have the balance here. It makes you think, like, Lord, I had when he left, I said, Lord, thank you for giving me a balance and a revelation.
Yes.
I mean, I can't stress it enough. I mean, I don't have to just go on the internet and get an answer. I got answers here. You know what I mean? Lift the voice. I don't have to pray about it. I mean, like I said, Jay said, everybody said, you know, if you struggle, you choose to struggle.
Yeah,
you don't have to struggle.
That's right.
Ignorance.
You don't have to. You're ignorant. I mean, you can get through this life easy if you just get, you know, you got the answer if you just
that's
ask.
Right.
So I just thank God for that. I just, like I said, I thank God for this place. Thank God for Peter O'Kale. I mean, he preached good Wednesday.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to you tonight and tomorrow.
Amen.
And just taking my notes and just trying to soak everything in. And And like I said, I love the body here, so that's what I want to say.
Amen. You know, I got one more thing to share. You know, the other night I was looking for something to eat, you know, and I really kind of wanted tacos and couldn't get tacos. So me and Sister Beth, we went to the steakhouse down the street, and because her daughter works there, so we thought we'd get a discount. So you know, cheap food, good food for cheap, that's good, you know. So we went in there, she wasn't working. And so we get seated, you know, we have our meal and everything, and the girl that served us, you know, she knows Sister Beth's daughter, so she gave us the discount. So we still got the discount. But then, you know, God always knows your footsteps. He knows where he wants you to be. And I really didn't care too much to go to eat a steak, you know, but we came there, and then this couple was getting up, and this little baby girl walking, she comes up to me and Beth, and she's like, and I'm like, you know, she just identified.
Yeah.
And I just love that, you know. We just have no clue what kind of God we're really serving. We just don't, we can't even fathom the depths of his love.
That's right.
And, you know, we need to hear from him every day. So that's why I wanted to sing this song here, and song 98, Kia G.
We need to hear from you.
perfect way. There is no other. Seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to be able to have a place to come to and serve God in the midst of this crazy world.
Amen.
I mean, it's gone. It's gone. People have no love for life. No love for themselves. No love for God. No love, period. Because God is love. They're missing out every bit of it. You know, I was, Brother O'Kay and I was talking, I think it was this morning or last night. He said, you know, Israel's in a fix right now, and everybody's looking at it. And that's what the Bible said we would do. 2,000 years ago, it said everybody's going to keep their eye on Israel. And everybody's going to be watching Israel. And I was sitting there just a minute ago in the organ, I was thinking, you know what? We say that the rapture is going to happen in our day. Right. So if the rapture is going to happen in our day, the 144,000 has got to be on the scene. Right. Somewhere.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And we were talking about Israel this morning or last night, whenever it was, and we were saying that God has his hand on Israel, even if he's not dealing with them.
That's right.
That's right. Yep. And we were saying, he says, just like us, even before we were born again, God always had his hand on you.
Oh, yeah.
He always protected you. He always watched over you, even before you were born again. And the same thing with Israel. We say, well, God can't deal with the Jews and the Gentiles at the same time. That's true. But that don't mean God hadn't got his eyes on Israel. They will never destroy Israel. They will never wipe Israel off the face of the earth because you know what? God's got his hand on Israel even before their new birth. So in the midst of all of that's going on, Israel will be okay. In the middle of all the mess, if we are, and I believe we are, those that are going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. So if we're here, they're there. That's how close this is. It won't take but one move for God to just take his hands off the Gentiles and put it on Israel. It won't waste no time. It won't waste a day. It won't waste a day. It won't take a moment in the twinkling of an eye for the Gentiles to get out of here. And it won't take but a moment in the twinkling of an eye for God to go back and deal with Israel. So even though it's looking rough, the world has never been set up like it has now. No one in the history of mankind could destroy the earth by fire. Until now.
Amen.
No one in the history of men could be able to, everybody in the whole world, look and see dead bodies in the street.
Yes, right.
Till now.
Now.
We're seeing it all the time now. We're seeing it every day right now. It's not Moses and Elijah, but it's not an unusual, because at one point I thought, won't that be odd to have two dead bodies laying in the streets for days? And when I first understood it was going to be Moses and Elijah, when I come to this message, I thought, that's going to be pretty obvious that it's going to be Moses and Elijah laying in the streets dead for days. When I'm looking at the news, they're doing it now. That's just the way it is. But it's funny because up until this day and hour that we're living in, we didn't even think these things were possible.
Right.
Now those scriptures that seem impossible, so of course the earth's going to destroy itself by fire.
Right. Right.
Of course man's going to destroy himself. Of course the city's going to burn in one day. Of course the smoke's going to rise up. Of course, you know, of course the things that seemed impossible when it was written, when it was prophecy, is now so easily to happen that it's like, of course it's going to happen. Of course the two bodies. And the whole world, they never, we didn't have the technology for the whole world to see. See, we're watching now what's going on in Israel while it's happening. Real time. Never before has it been that way. And we as the bride are sitting here so posed, so perched to look at it all. And we could say, check, check, check. And as God's dealing with it, because God's going to take care of Israel. I'm not a bit worried about Israel. I'm worried about the Palestinians. You know, they're the ones that's going to be in trouble because God never promised that he was going to be with them. But in the hour that we're living in now, things are wrapping up so fast and moving so quickly. The scriptures is just, you know, the last, I don't even remember how many, but in the last few hours of Jesus' life, he fulfilled so many scriptures. Just boom, 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 boom. When they know the number, I just don't know the number. That he fulfilled so many scriptures right at the end of his life. And at the end of the bride, just before her taking out of here, we're going to fulfill so many scriptures that they don't even think it's possible. It's going to just go boom, 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 boom. But it's going to happen so fast, we're just going to be living. We're not going to be sitting, look at the Bible, saying, now we need to do this. Now we need to do that. No, we're just living. We are the living, manifested Word of God. And because of who we are, it's going to automatically produce what the Word of God says. And we'll be able to look back and say, you think you have eternal life? Search them. They're the ones that testify of us. And this bride hath made herself ready.
Amen.
Right now, she's ready. Amen. If it came before morning, she's ready. We don't have one more scripture to fulfill.
That's right.
Holding us back from the rapture. Not one.
That's
right. So now all we're doing is walking around here, giving eternal life. Walking, talking word of God to this world. The final voice to the final age. That's who we are. And it's not a bad time for the bride. This is our greatest hour. This is where we're going to shine the greatest. This is where everybody else is falling off and the bride's just keep on pressing, moving. Because she can see where the world can't see the scriptures being fulfilled, the bride can. Jesus wasn't in the dark on the scriptures. He knew who he was. He knew what he was fulfilling. He told them the sick has been touched and the blind eyes been opened. He knew exactly what scriptures he was fulfilling for his day. And when John the Baptist wasn't even sure, he went, tell John all these things that were prophesied of me is happening right now. So see, he knew who he was. He knew what scriptures he was fulfilling. And the bride in this hour knows who she is. And we know the scriptures that we're fulfilling. And we're not going to be surprised by the body change. It's just the last one. That's the last scripture that we'll fulfill on this side. And you know what? Even after the body change, we have other scriptures. We're not going to stop fulfilling scriptures just because we get a body change. We got other things to do.
Amen.
Things that are to be.
Amen.
Laying right ahead of us.
Wow.
And nobody but the bride knows. Everybody else is in darkness. The bride is in Goshen. She's in perfect light. And now here we are. We're feasting on the body word of the Son and Man. We can eat anywhere in that Bible. I took Brother Peter to a smorgasbord yesterday, and I tell him to get anything you want. When you get in that Bible now, it's a smorgasbord. It's not just the just shall live by faith. It's just not sanctification. It's just not the baptism and the restoration of the gifts. But the entire table is laid before the bride, and she can eat anything and everything in that book. And so now all we're doing is we sit here and pick this up, pick that up. We go get a plate, Brother Peter. Come back and eat it. Then, you know, you say, well, I think I'll go get me something else. And you go get something else in that book. And we just pick things out of the Bible just to talk about. We're not trying to get ourselves saved. We're already saved. We're already redeemed. We are right now, all we're doing is picking things out of the Bible to talk about. Talking about how good God's been to us. And we're just enjoying being here.
Amen.
He said, "Well, I don't want to be here. You you need to find out who you are. Because if you knew who you were," Amen. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. Said, "If you knew who was here, you'd ask me to give you something to drink of. I've come of me to drink, and I'll give you water, and you'll never thirst again." And that's the way we walk around the earth right now. We're not down and out. We're not tore up and scared about everything. We're looking around these people and said, "Hey, if you want eternal life, you be good to me. You come and drink of me. I'll give you some water. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll take care of you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, the bride now knows what that means. What I bind, he binds. What I loose, he loose. What I love, he loves. What I hate, he hates. God hates because I hate. God loves because I love. He moves because I move. That's the way. That's the way the bride is. So she is in perfect harmony with the word of God right now. And we're just enjoying this. We're not getting here and trying to fix this thing up and trying to figure it out. We know what to do with the word. What are you going to do? One of my favorite quotes. When you get a group of people who knows what it is, can look all the way back and see what it is. See what he has done. That's us, people. Then the rapture can go. That's where we're living, people. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you these things. And we're just enjoying this thing. We're just enjoying the word. Peter Okeo comes from Africa. Come over here and preach. We go over there and preach. He enjoys us. We enjoy him. I go to Philippines. They enjoy us. Go wherever you go. Wherever we go. That's the bride now. She's just feasting on the body word of the Son of Man. And then, no matter where you preach, it's good eating. It's good eating. So we got Brother Peter Okeo here. He was here Wednesday night. And he gave us part one. He said he's going to give us part two. Some people have actually texted me. They're not feeling well tonight. They stayed home. They're tuning in. Some couldn't make it. But we're going on because they want to hear part two as well. And then from there, we're going to go to part three tomorrow morning. So Brother Okeo, you can come. And we will just turn this right over to you right now. God bless you, sir.
Good. Like $1 million. Just stick that in your pocket. Praise the Lord. Oh my, it's just lovely. It's lovely to be up here. It's lovely to hear the word of God and hear brethren rejoicing in the word. Amen. You know, if I start talking, I know I won't get into the word. So let's just turn to the scriptures. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, verse 1 up to verse 4. Hebrews chapter 7, from verse 1 to verse 4. So let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because of your grace and loving kindness. Lord Jesus, you said, on that day you shall know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. May your grace and loving kindness open our understanding to thy word. Lord, let it not just be a profession, but let the reality of it down upon us. May you reveal your word to us tonight again. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth part of the spoils. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, we had part one. And part one was what the prophet held on to and believed on the earlier part of his life. And he preached it. And many are still preaching that. So now we want to get to part two. Of course, we are going to have a little summary of part one. Because part two is going to come to beginning of the change of understanding. As I told you, people say William Branham was a prophet all the way through. Yes, he was. He was born a prophet. He was raised a prophet. But from his onwards, he entered into the prophet's office for the last three years of his life. He was not in the prophet's office. And God, there is something else that he says. Just like the lamb was watched for 14 days before it was slaughtered, it had to be watched 14 days. He says, the first thing, a prophet must be proved to be a prophet. And it took God 30 years proving that he is a prophet. And that's why he had all those visions, dreams, prophecies, things that he would challenge everybody. Say, can anyone point one thing that I said in the name of the Lord that has not come to pass? And there couldn't be anybody. That was just to prove that he was a prophet. It doesn't mean that he was in the office of a prophet. Because as we said, he did the work of an evangelist for 17 years. I mean, the pastoral work, 17 years. Then from 1946, the angel came to him. The same day Israel went back to their land. The same day. That's the day the angel came and explained to him his mysterious life. And he was told, you've been given a gift of healing to take to the whole world. And he went into the evangelistic ministry. And he said, for 9 years, everything went fine. The meetings would take care of themselves. There was enough. But he says, after that, that's 1955, he had three meetings in a row that didn't pay. Brethren had to come to offset the debts. He said, no, that's not what I promised God. So his son Billy told him, Dad, are you going to stop preaching? I'm sure you will not leave. Because Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, Billy Paul, I'm not leaving preaching, but I'm leaving the evangelistic field. Because he was told, do the work of an evangelist. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. And when he started bringing that sound doctrine, because when he came with healing, the first pull, everybody was for him. But the second Paul, when he started to bring sound doctrine, preaching what Paul preached, they pulled off. They couldn't support him. And they forsook him. And he preached present stage of my ministry. Demas has forsaken me. And somebody said, one of his managers was Demas Shakarian. He also forsook him. So when he was preaching, Demas had forsaken me. His own Demas had really forsaken him. And the world forsook him. And then, of course, that's when the Lord was coming down strongly with a sign of the Son of Man, the discernment sign. And the prophet says, in proving his word, that's the last sign.
That's right.
The last sign that the church would ever get.
Amen.
Because all the other signs give me spiritual gifts, all those healing and whatsoever had been done. But the last manifestation was the sign of discernment. After that comes the revealing of the Son of Man. But there was a lull, as we said the other day, between that time when he was rejected. Remember, he preached indictment. I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not Son of Man. Son of Man was not presented to them, because during seven church ages, we had Son of God, not Son of Man. So when they rejected and they crucified him on their pulpits, he indicted them. And that closed the church ages. And from that time, God stopped dealing with people as a church, as a group. And the prophet says, then he had to come in as Son of Man again.
Amen.
And what is Son of God? Son of God is the Holy Ghost in the church, where he was dealing with a group. People with spiritual gifts, they are to work together. Because somebody talking in tongues needs somebody to interpret, and you need somebody with the gift of wisdom. You need somebody with discernment of spirits. But now, when they turned down the word that should have laid those things in their right order, when they turned down the word that was prophesying against denominations and against nations, then it closed the church ages. And now the Son of Man had to come on the scene. So there was that lull. And the part we are getting into is when there was that lull in between. And that is where we get our part two. The beginning of the change of understanding.
Amen.
See? So let's first go back a little bit and look at some of the things that he had said earlier from the book of Hebrews. You know, he preached a lot of that in the Hebrews. I remember 1957, he was saying, America has got its last chance. Now let's just take one of the quotes from Hebrews, paragraph 611. Now when we go from here, there is a tabernacle, a theophany, just an image of a man that don't eat, don't drink, don't sleep, awake forever. There is where we go to. But they are waiting under the altar. I want you to take note of that, Brother Jeremiah. He is saying they are waiting under the altar.
Right. Right.
Uh-huh. Crying, Lord, how long? How long to come back down? And remember, until he, the day he was preaching the fifth seal, he still held that. He still held that. And he was going to preach exactly that. In the third seal, he said it. They are Christian saints. In the third seal. Just 2 days later, God comes down to open the fifth seal to him. He says, I would have made a great mistake today. You see? So people say he was a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet. But even when he got into the prophet's office, he still depended on God giving him. And God didn't give him the whole lot at once. He gave him bit by bit. Yes. So you, even after the opening of the seals, you can't say after the opening of the seals he got everything. No, he didn't. He didn't. I told you the other day, like marriage and divorce, it took him 3 years from 63 when he started getting it. Then 64, when you read in COD, he says, just this morning, he finished giving me that last part of marriage and divorce. I'm waiting. If I get all of it together, I'll preach it. But when 1965, when he's preaching marriage and divorce, the morning that in the evening he preached, who is this Melchizedek? He says, when he comes to the mystery of a woman, he says, I never knew that till just the other day. So, the woman is the last mystery. Amen. That God revealed. And you look at people, what are they arguing over? They are not seeing that in marriage and divorce. The world is torn into different things. Is it monogamy? Is it polygamy? Okay, if you believe polygamy, no, you are not my brother. If you believe monogamy, no, you are not my brother. It doesn't matter. What is the mystery in that book? God was revealing the mystery about himself. And the mystery of the woman is that she is not even in the creation. She is not a created being. If you just go back to the day of creation, there would be no woman. They would be back in us. Yeah. You'd be back in your husband. And what does God show with that? He shows. If we went back, now for us, if I would say us, the Gentiles, if we went back 2,000 years ago, we wouldn't even be there anywhere. Our souls were still the genes in Jesus Christ. Remember? It's the rising of the sun. He says it there. When God looked at the body of Jesus on the cross, he saw both male and female in that one body. He had not yet separated the bride from the bridegroom. Amen. You know, we were talking with Brother Moore, and he was saying, oh, brother, that thing about Adam. Okay, I saw that. Yeah, Adam. And Eve was the beginning of that multiplication. Sure, yes. Showing we started multiplication from Christ. Remember, Christ was the only begotten of the Father. John 1:14. He was the only begotten. There was none of his kind. But when you come to Romans 8:29, he is no longer the only begotten. Today, some people are still preaching that Jesus is the only begotten. No. Paul says that all that he foreknew, he also called. And those that he called, he also glorified. Because he had done what? He had wanted them to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he can't be the firstborn and again is the only one. It's impossible. You can't be an only child and then you are the firstborn. Yeah. When God started giving birth to other children, he now became the firstborn.
That's right.
No longer the only begotten.
Right.
And the Bible says the Holy Ghost testifies with our spirits that we are sons. And if sons, then heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. So whatsoever belongs to Christ belongs to me.
Amen. You're right.
Yeah. It all belongs to me. And this is the mystery.
Yes.
Because remember, the six seals reveal written mysteries. But the seventh seal is dealing with only one mystery. That's what it says in Revelation 10, verse 7. When it begins to sound, the mystery of God. Not mysteries of God, the mystery of God. So we are only dealing with one mystery now, the mystery of God. That's all. And whatsoever God is revealing is about himself.
Amen.
And whatsoever belongs to him.
Amen.
Yeah, that's all that he's doing now. So, you see, when he says here that they are crying under the altar, he tells you where he was at that time. Yeah. So, but he was a prophet. Sure, he was. But the prophet says, and the only way a prophet can be vindicated is by the word.
Right.
How? When the word comes to him.
Amen.
First, there was the proving that he is a prophet, and that took 30 years. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to Moses. He was given two signs.
Yeah.
He went to Egypt with it. Then he said, Lord, how will I know? He said, know assuredly that after you have taken the children of Israel out of Egypt, you shall serve me upon this mountain. And what happened on that mountain? That's when he got the Ten Commandments and every commandment. He had already finished with the two signs he was given in Egypt. He came out, brought them out. Then he had to go to the mountain and the pillar of fire came down. And that is when now he became the lawgiver. Remember, he wasn't a lawgiver in Egypt. He was a deliverer.
Amen. That's right.
But we know Moses was both deliverer and a lawgiver. He couldn't give the law that wasn't there. God had to give it to him. And God came down and spoke to Moses. And people ran away. They said, okay, don't let God speak, let Moses speak. Because they were only hearing boo, boo. Just, it was just thundering, thundering. And the Bible says, and the sound got louder and louder. Till they ran away. They said, no, let him not speak. Remember, God had told Aaron and Miriam. Don't you fear God? If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will speak to them in visions and dreams. But with my servant Moses, I speak lip to ear. In other words, he is not a prophet like other prophets. And apart from Jesus, we have only had three of them. Moses, then Paul, and now William Branham. So even if you think you are a prophet, you can't come to the level of those three. God spoke to them lip to ear. Moses wrote the Old Testament. Paul wrote the New Testament. And William Branham brings the book of Revelation. He says that's his work. That's the work of the seventh angel, this end time prophet. So the word has to come to him. And what happened? Moses had a mountain, an everlasting sign, and it is still standing. Jesus came. He had a mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. And God vindicated Jesus, said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Sure. William Branham was given a mountain. Yeah. And he kept going west. Say, "Oh, I'm going hunting." But you know, he would have a time alone. Watch every time. Watch those sermons. He explains how they went with the brethren and then he left them. When God was talking to William Branham, most of the time he was alone. And then he comes. He doesn't come thundering to us. He comes and preaches a simple message. That is why people don't know that the thunders have uttered. But look, when it uttered in the days of Moses, we've got the Old Testament. That's what the thunder said. When it uttered the time of Paul, we've got the New Testament. And if it has uttered, then we have the book of Revelation, the opening of the seven seals. So what else do you want? And when you get people saying, "Oh, we have proved William Branham was a false prophet," it's too late. It's too late. Like those with only believe the sign. You know, they have scattered that thing all over the world. And we had some brethren over in East Africa, young men, they were so convinced that, "Oh, this man is proving it." And one of them gave me some of those things. And you see, he has even gone and talked to the forest wardens, and they say, the game wardens, they said at that time, nobody's allowed in the forest. And so, you know, they were convinced, yeah, this man is really proving his point. But listen, I am a trained scout leader. And with my training, if I wanted to get in any forest, anywhere in the world, even here in the US, I just have to give information. They will facilitate me with the ordnance survey maps and anything that I need. I have permission to walk into any army place or any, and ask for what I need for my camping. I'm not a warden. William Branham was a game warden. Leave alone that. William Branham was a guide. How do you stop a guide from being there? I almost trained for that in 1987 through scout leadership. I was going to be sponsored by Coca-Cola. I was going to be the only civilian We were going to train with the top military and the top police officers. We would go to Mount Kenya, which is the most rugged mountain in Africa. And we were going to spend almost the whole month there to be trained in mountain sickness and movements in the mountains, moving in the forest at night or any time, so that if there would be any trouble, we would be the ones to go rescue people. Now, you tell me that such a person will be blocked from getting into the forest while he's the one who should be guiding any other person? So I don't care what the law says.
Right.
Yes, the law does not stop the wardens because they should be there. The law doesn't stop the guides. They are the ones who ought to be walking there.
That's right.
So William Branham was both a warden and a guide. So how do you stop him? And that's the reason whenever he went, even when the blisters were there, there was no other guide because he was with them.
Amen.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have been allowed to go in. So I told the brethren, take that out of your mind.
Amen.
It's like saying you are stopping an army man from entering into the army barracks.
Right.
Or you are stopping a doctor from entering the hospital. You can't.
Amen.
So look for something else. Praise God.
Amen.
Now listen. Let's move ahead. On the Hebrews, there is something he says here. They are waiting on the altar crying, Lord, how long? How long? Why are they crying? To come back down. You hear his understanding that he had. One, he thought they were the souls under the altar.
Right.
Two, he says, because they want to shake hands with one another. They want to sit down and eat and talk to one another. They are human. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What had he said? He had said, then that Theophany had to be made flesh. There is something else I wanted there. He says the Theophany can't shake hands. He can't do any of those things. Oh yeah, here it is. That is paragraph 89, the second part. And they thought Peter had done died, this old body had dropped, and they would bury it in a few days. He had entered into his angel, his not glorified body, but in his Theophany, the body that's already prepared. It couldn't shake hands. It had no hands to shake like that, but it's in an image of a man, come down and was knocking at the door. You see, that's how he knew what a theophany was.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that he said a theophany. He said that soul that was in a man, that's the theophany.
Right.
So,
right.
You see? Now, let's get something else before we get into the real change of understanding. Now, if you take the theophany, this is a question and answers on the Hebrews. Page 339. Now, if you take the theophany, when you are looking at that, that's a man. Now, that's where we were in the beginning. And this is what many are still preaching. We were the theophany in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, you do not understand it now, but you was back there in the beginning that way. When God made man in his image, he made him a theophany. And he only placed him in flesh. When God made man in his image, in his likeness, that's in Genesis 2, or Genesis 1:28, I believe, there was no man to till the soil. And God had made male and female, that's right, no man to till the soil. Then God brought man a little lower down and put him in animal life. That's this body. just like the animals. Now, that's this our physical body. So that it could till the soil, could touch. The theophany doesn't touch. That's 1957. It doesn't see, taste, smell, hear, these senses that we have. So God put man down in order to touch and to feel. Yeah. But he was still a prophet. He was still a prophet and discernment was going on. But God has his time of doing things. And God was not going to do things before the right time. Remember, he had to make sure that there were people who could catch something. Now, questions and answers on the Hebrews, paragraph 841. What do we do? Well, my dear sainted brother, my dear sainted sister, before the foundation of the world, when God created you in his image, or created the man in his image, and created the woman in the image of the man for the glory of man, he made you a theophany, just like himself. When he said, let us, to the creatures that he had made. You see, his understanding is God is talking to the creatures that he had made. Let us. But now you know God himself was both male and female. Amen. Just like Adam was both male and female. That's the image.
Amen.
But you see the understanding he was having? Who was it, the Melchizedek that came down, the king of Salem, with no father, no mother, no beginning of days or ending of life? That's him. And he came down, that's the one that talked to Abraham, that gathered him up a little body of flesh like that. And Brother Bram blows, breathed into it, stepped into it, came down and eat calf, drank milk for a cow, from a cow, eat some butter. You see? And when he walked out there and all of that stuff just, in other words, he would gather the dust and blow it and get into it and come with a physical body. Because the prophet was saying that that body that sat with Abraham and ate, he said that was not a theophany. He said that was now flesh. Now. Okay, I want to read the last part, then we get into the change, beginning of the change. Now, the message, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Preached in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1960 in March. Paragraph 21. Why? It's easy for our God to just reach over and get a handful of calcium, potash, and petroleum. We are made out of 16 different elements of the world. He made all the elements, just reach out and grab a handful of elements. Brother Branham blows. Step in that, Gabriel. Reach over and get another one. Step in that, Michael. Get another one for himself. Why? Sure. He will call someday. And I may not be more than that, and he will call me back into my body at the resurrection. Amen. We got the mighty God for our God. Sure, I believe it was him. And then he disappeared and vanished. That's where we get that teaching of a theophany appearing and disappearing. I want you to take note of that, because tomorrow we want to mention that part. Of a theophany appearing and disappearing. He just used that just as long as he wanted to, then just send it back to the dust again. He will use you as long as he wants to, then send you back to the dust. He'll use me as long as he wants to, then I'll go back to the dust. But oh, that glorious thought, that glorious truth, that someday he will call and will rise from the dust. We are looking for that hour. you see the way he was holding. Say the theophany was the soul. He said God was a theophany. And a theophany cannot touch. A theophany can't smell. A theophany doesn't even have senses. A theophany can't even talk. Yeah, he was still a prophet. But God had not put him in the office of a prophet. This is the part people don't understand. Now, let's look at the beginning of the change. What brought it? Because it's not even the perfect understanding. It's just the beginning of the change of understanding. That's 1960, May 15th. And this thing happened that year. The rejected king. This one, I think the old books, it's page 19, the second paragraph in that page. Last Sunday morning, I'd woken up early. That was on Saturday, this vision. I've always worried. I've always thought of dying, that me, being 50, it's my time is not, didn't think was too long. And I wondered what I would be in this theophany celestial body. Would it be that I would see my precious friends and say a little white fog going by and say, there goes Brother Neville? Or he couldn't say, hello, Brother Branham. And when Jesus came, then I would be man again. I often thought that. That's the prophet. I often thought that.
Amen. That's right.
Uh-huh. Adoption, part 2, paragraph 97. This, the first one he preached on 15th of May. This one is 18th of May. And Paul said, it doesn't yet appear just exactly what kind of a body we'll have. But we know we'll have a body like his. What? Did he ever have that theophany body? Yes, sir. When he died, the Bible said that he is a personal pronoun again. He went to hell and preached to the souls in prison. Hallelujah. How did he do it? Now listen. He had senses of feelings. Yes, he has already talked of when he went and saw those bodies, those brethren beyond the curtain of time. That's where he started, he realized that things are not the way he had thought. Uh-huh. See? He went to hell and preached to the souls in prison. Hallelujah. How did he do it? He had senses of feelings. He had senses of hearing. He had senses of speech. He had said there that a theophany can't speak. A theophany can't see, can't taste, can't hear, can't touch. But when he went beyond the curtain of time, he realized, not like that. Mm-hmm. Now, I want us to still stress, this is still not a revelation. He just went there. So he's talking about experience. God hasn't revealed it to him. He's just giving us from experience. So this is quite a thing of study. Now, listen. He preached with that same kind of a body. I saw those glorified ones in the other night. He preached to the souls that were in hell that repented not in the long suffering of the days of Noah. He says that with the type of body I saw when he went beyond the curtain of time. Now he realized, yeah, they have sense. They can touch. They can feel. They can speak. They can hear. But when he rose up on Easter, it was not possible that that body should see corruption. Because David the prophet foresaw it. I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because he will not leave my soul in hell, neither will he leave my Holy One to see corruption. And on 72 hours before corruption could set in, that theophany, that body that went and preached to the souls that were in prison, that repented not in the long suffering of the days of Noah, rose again, and the mortal put on immortality, and he stood and he ate, and he told us that he was a man. You see, that still gets it, but still mixed. He is still saying that theophany rose. And that's why some brethren were dealing with this subject in 1980. This mystery of Melchizedek. And I was trying to point to them. Can't you see something there? Say, no, Brother Peter. The theophany. Something happened in the grave. A miracle took place. And the body turned into the theophany and went to preach. Then I asked, what remained in the grave then? Because something had to be resurrected before 72 hours are over. Otherwise, it would have seen corruption. Amen. Remember, that's the reason they told him that Lazarus is now rotten. He said this is the fourth day. He was there beyond 72 hours. Right. Yeah. And that's the reason Jesus could not stay up beyond 72 hours. Amen. The body would have seen corruption. Right. You want to tell me a theophany will see corruption? So that just shows you he's doing the best he can with the understanding he got that much.
That's right. Amen.
But still he hadn't got the revelation.
Amen.
And that's why, brethren, sometimes it's good to be cautious the way we go and the way we preach.
Amen.
I normally tell people, don't just preach it because you had a brother preaching it. You cannot copy and paste a sermon. You don't copy paste sermons. It has to be revealed to you as an individual. Otherwise, you'll mess up. And remember, when a preacher messes up, he doesn't just mess himself up. He messes up everybody hearing him. And now, how many believers have been messed up all over the world? Yes. And they are saying what the prophet said without understanding how God was dealing with the prophet. Okay? Now, adoption. And paragraph 180, adoption part 4. And what is it when you are way out there in redemption with a brand new body? You have turned back to a young man altogether again, or a young woman. You are never going to die no more. And you look down on earth and think, I could enjoy some grapes and some good cold water, but you know, I don't need it here. Because when he went beyond the curtain of time, they told him they don't need. And then we made a doctrine that a theophany doesn't eat. They just don't need it. They don't need it. It doesn't mean they can't eat. You know, it's a different thing to say we don't eat and another one to say we can't eat. Those are two different things. Because they don't need it. Yeah, if they want to eat, they can eat. Gideon presented the sacrifice to the angel. Is that right? And these three men, if we would call them so, who came to Abraham, they ate. Do you get it? So, it doesn't mean they can't. But they don't. Yeah. Because we eat here to keep ourselves alive. Yes. If you don't eat, you die. But remember, when you get your glorified body, you don't have to eat. But you can eat. We'll be eating 3.5 years. Yeah. Jesus said it himself. We'll be eating. But do we need to eat to keep alive in a glorified body? No. Oh, praise God. My. So, you see? Now let's move. And you, But someday Jesus is coming. And this angelic body, this theophany that I'm living in, because he's talking about those who are already in there, in the sixth dimension, will not come through the womb of a woman anymore. It will not come through sexual desire anymore. But because that he was born without sexual desire, I'll be resurrected without it. And he'll speak someday, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and the body that I once lived in will resurrect into a glorified body. And that is one thing that still confuses people, because we say it's the theophany that will become that body. No. No. That body that died and went to dust will have to be called back. The prophet says it will be redeemed and then glorified. And he will speak someday, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and the body that I once lived in the resurrection will resurrect into a glorified body, and I'll walk and talk and I'll live and I'll enjoy ages that is to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. There you are, brother. That's the gospel. Then there is something he is asked. Now he's getting deeper into the understanding. Questions and answers on the seals. Page 562 of the seals book. Paragraph 330. There is a question a brother asked Brother Branham. A brother asks, well now, is that temporary? Of course, when he was explaining how he went and saw those brethren beyond the curtain of time. Is that temporary? Mm-hmm. Pending the resurrection of this body, are you getting it? When you are there, you are waiting for the body to be resurrected. The prophet says, yeah. See? Yeah. Oh, yes. Then the brother goes on. That's the condition that we are going to live in until this resurrection? The prophet says, that's right, see? Then listen to this. It's not revealed to sons of men yet. He has gone beyond the curtain of time, but he hasn't got revelation. But at least the going beyond the curtain of time has changed some of his understanding. Yes. You see? Amen. He says, it's not revealed to sons of men yet, I believe, I know I saw it, see, but I don't know. That's William Branham himself. But I don't know what kind of a body it is. But when he was preaching, he thought he knew. But when he went beyond the canon of time, you see, when you begin to know, that's when you realize you don't know. And that's the problem. Many people are convinced they know, they don't, and there is no way they'll know they don't know, because they don't know even a small thing. But when you start to know, that's when you realize you don't know. And you need to know better. That's why you'll find a professor doing research. That you find somebody who is learned, who has got a degree, wants to go to learn something better. Why? Because the more you know, the more you realize you need to know. So when he went and realized, oh, it's a body, it's not a floating cloud. It's not just something in the shape of a human body. It's real. It has hands. They can teach. They can touch. Then now he says, I know I saw it, but I don't know what kind of a body it is. But I could feel them just the same as I feel your hands or anything else. Of course, this is on tape, and you may be playing it years after I'm gone, like we are doing it now. See, but, and that, whatever it was, I was holding those people and catching them, and it just as real as you are real, and yet it wasn't. They didn't eat nor drink. There was no yesterday, no tomorrow. See, it was an eternity. See? Then accepting God's provided way at the end time. That's in he's still bringing it. Paragraph 19. A businessman packed the article in that, the businessman's voice of... I think we are just going to call it a vision, of course. How else would he call it for people to understand? Mm-hmm. And it was a little different, usually, from visions I have, had been taken from where I was at, up. Look, didn't look to me much further than the roof of that building. He was pointing to another building. Because he could just see still, and he would turn. He was seeing himself, and he could turn and see himself in the bed. Mm-hmm. And there I was in another place where I seen all those who had passed on. Many of you read the article, of course. And in there, after he had told me them who they were, and they all were young again. And they were real. I always was afraid to die. Not afraid that I would be lost, but I didn't want to be a spirit. Uh-huh. I want to be human, a man, because I always understood as a man, shake people's hands. I think, what if I would get there and admit Brother Rose? And it'd be a little white cloud or something. I know it was Brother Rose by some other sense, but I couldn't shake his hand. I couldn't talk to him. I would wonder, wouldn't that be awful? But I thought then, when I returned back, of course, I'll have a resurrection. That scripture had never occurred to me before that. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Now, I want you to catch something. Throughout, he has been quoting that scripture. I say it never occurred to me. Yet he was quoting it. You can be reading the Bible and thinking you know. But when the Lord decides to open your understanding, and you now get the true knowledge.
Amen.
That's when you realize you never knew.
Amen.
All those places we read since the other day, he is quoting that scripture. Is that right?
Yeah.
But now he says, that scripture had never occurred to me before. That if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting.
Amen.
Yeah. That theophany is already there.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Amen.
If it were not so, I would have told you.
Amen.
What are those mansions? They are those theophanies.
Amen.
That theophany wasn't born the day I was born. No. Oh, let's not go to tomorrow. Let's put on speed governors. Otherwise, you might find we are going too fast, okay?
Right.
Now, in the fifth seal, the seals book, page 377, paragraph 350. I thought, man, I hope I live to see him coming. I don't want to be a spook or a spirit. See? I always was afraid of a spirit. And you know that kind of, I always thought. He is telling us what he thought. Yet, he was preaching and that theophany said, come on, hold that, I'll prove it to you. But I always thought, like if I would meet Brother Neville, and it'd be a little white cloud moving around, you know. And I would say, hello, Brother Neville. And he would say, hello, Brother Branham. By some other sense, he couldn't talk. But I would just know that it was Brother Neville. And I'd want to shake his hand like I always do, because that's all I know is human beings, see? I'd want to shake his hand, but he ain't got no hand. It's down there in the grave, rotting away. That's what he thought. Yeah. I thought, my, I hope I don't have to go through that. No, I wasn't. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was afraid to die. Not afraid I would be lost, but I didn't want to be a spirit. I wanted to just remain a man. I wanted to wait for the rapture. See? I just wanted to stay like that. I didn't want to be a spirit. Go around. You see that people will be floating. They're like little clouds. You find angels floating around. Those are the thoughts. Yeah. Remember, he's in the fifth seal. Now, paragraph 450 of the fifth seal. And then the Bible teaches that we are now begotten of God. We are begotten of the Holy Spirit that is in Christ, a Son of God being formed in us. And when this earthly body be dissolved, this spiritual body comes from the bowels of the earth. There is another body waiting to receive it. If this earthly tabernacle be dropped, there is another body to receive it. This mortal body puts on immortality. This terrestrial puts on celestial.
That's right.
See what I mean? There is a natural body that is sinful, which we are in this sinful natural body. But in its making, just like it, is another body that we go to. So who are the we? Because people say the theophany became flesh. And then the flesh became theophany. So that doesn't give allowance for your soul being different from that. But it says we go to that.
Amen.
So there must be something that moves out of one body into another body.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
My. Praise God. And I'm so grateful to God that I can say, as your pastor and brother, I seen those people. So help me in that body and handle them with my hands. That's right.
Amen.
You see, the thought is now changing. But remember, he said it's not yet revealed. Uh-huh. This is a dying spirit in a dying body. You see? The spirit of life in us is a dying spirit. Because I remember one time my brother said, Brother Peter, when a man dies, where does his spirit go? I said, I don't know. He said, but brother, we are preachers. We should think about it. Because we've got to preach it to people. I told him, brother, as long as I've not got it, I'm not going to say it. I told him, why don't we wait? We haven't read all the books. He said, no, Brother Peter. And that Sunday, he stood and preached it. Because he was reading another brother's teaching on it. Say, so when a man dies, his spirit goes back to God and becomes the Holy Ghost. And then another brother came to back him and said, can't you see what is a ghost? A ghost is the spirit of a dead man. And because he is holy, he is Holy Ghost. I told them, brethren, not at all. I said, I don't know it, but let's wait for the prophet. It didn't take a month. And yeah, I come by the quote. The prophet says, when you die, your spirit disintegrates. Yeah, it just disintegrates. It is a dying spirit in a dying body. Remember, you will not need the spirit of life in that glorified body. We'll see that tomorrow. Oh, it's only to keep this body alive. When this body is glorified, it won't need it because it won't die. Oh, my. Praise God. Now listen to this. This is a dying spirit in a dying body, but now you can't be in two bodies at one time. And people are saying we are already in our theophany. Now, brother, if your theophany is already in you, I don't know. And you know, if you have two bodies, it's becoming dangerous for you because the prophet says in the seventh seal, you've got to get God's numbers right. He says it has to be a 3 or a 5 or a 7. He says if you get a 4 or a 6, something is wrong. 4 is the number of Antichrist. Now, you have a physical body, you have a theophany, you have a spirit of life, and you have a soul, that's 4. That's Antichrist. It doesn't line up with God's revelation. See? When you are born again, when you are born again, you are not born of physical, like the baby was. But what has happened? The spiritual birth has come to you. And while this spiritual birth is growing into your heart, you see, as you feed on the word, that is growing now. You see? As this spiritual is growing into your heart, and while the spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or a celestial body growing to receive that spirit. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Amen. According to him here, he is still saying that theophany is also growing. Right. And we are going to see tomorrow when he gets a perfect understanding of what he says. I'm just trying to make you mark those things. Amen. So that we have the question mark and wait for tomorrow. See? Now, and when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the spirit comes in, and when the spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See? That's it, the spiritual body of the people. I want us to leave it there. We don't want to get into the next. Let's have it, leave it for tomorrow. You can see, you can see he has begun to change his thoughts. Let's just thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace. We bless your name. We magnify your name. Lord, may you completely unveil yourself to us. Let your grace, love, and glory prevail. Give us a proper understanding, Lord, of thy word and how you dealt with your messenger, Lord. May your God show us, Lord, how we have to completely rely on you. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor Mo.
Bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Amen. Bless you, brother Peter. I was like, yes, we do want to get in the next part. I want to get to the meat of it. You know, Brother Tillers always tell us, when you preach something, make sure you bring it up on our day, or you ain't done. He just stretched it over to 3 days. I'm like, set those quotes down, preach to me. Because we know where he's going. I mean, it's good to see the progression of it, but we're all chewing at the bit, like, come on, Brother Peter, come on, Brother Peter. Because the thing is that Brother Branham was just like us. He had thoughts like us. He had ideas like us. And it's good to read the quote where he said that he thought they were going to be clouds, just floating up in heaven, harps on clouds or floating. He was, you know, he had ideas. And he was no different than the rest of us. We all come to this church with our own ideas. You say, well, I was born and raised here. You still had your own ideas. Because until you get a revelation, you still don't know what it is. We've always said, you can read something, and you can read it and read it for years. And then you one day, the revelation comes, and God speaks to you, and you feel like you never read it before. That's the difference between somebody who has just read it and somebody who has got God revealing to him. All up until God started talking and dealing with Brother Branham on these scriptures and tying all these loose ends, he was just like everybody else. He had his ministry as a pastor. He had his ministry as an evangelist. He did that work. Then he moved into his prophetic ministry. And once he started doing that, and when the word come to the prophet, that's when God started actually doing it all. Because remember, well, I won't say. Just let me say this. Remember, it was the restoration of the word that was under Malachi 4. And though he was a prophet in the ministry of Malachi 4, that's what Brother Peterson was saying when he was here a while back. He said, God, he used the term God left him. But what he was saying was that ministry was completed under Malachi 4. And see, even though he was a prophet, he had things that he had to do to bring us up to the point where the real prophecy can come into manifestation. And that's what he's trying to get to tomorrow. But Malachi 4 had a restoration before he could even really do the real prophesying. He had to have the restoration of the word. Amen. Because the word comes to the prophet. And what makes him a prophet is that he prophesies, and he prophesies the word. So Brother Branham, though he did all he did, you know, Brother Branham got to 50 years old and said, if I'm ever going to do anything. And that man had done so much. And I had healed and prayed and preached and went around the world and done. He thought, if I'm ever going to do anything, I'd better get started. I know that feeling. You know, I feel like I ain't done nothing. You know, and you think, you look and you think, but see, God had stages in his life. God has stages in our lives. There's things that we have to do at different stages in our lives, just like it is when you're single, when you're married, when you have kids, when you have grandkids. There's stages, and in each of those stages, you have something else that you need to do. Same way with the prophet. We call him the prophet, but even before he went into his prophetic ministry, Jesus was always a prophet. He was always Messiah, but he wasn't in the manifestation of that office. And until that office steps in, until the office kicks in, it's really not really that office. Though the seed is there, though the office is there, it's just like you. You've got attributes in you. Yeah, you're always a son, but you weren't always a manifested son. And there's a difference between a son and a manifested son. You can be a son for a long time without running a business. So you got to learn the business before you run it.
Yeah.
Daddy don't turn the business over to somebody who don't know what they're doing. But once a son gets to the place, remember the Bible said over there says he's under tutors and governors. See, we all that way. Until the time appointed, you're under tutors and governors. God's got to deal with you. He's got to protect you. Like I said, Israel, don't worry about Israel. Don't think God's not with Israel. God's still with Israel. They're just not a manifested son right now, but they're still sons of God, and they're still under God's protective hand, and that's why they will never take Israel's land. Never. They will never do it, because though God's not dealing with them, God's protecting them. When you were not even a manifested son, God still watched over you. He watched over that seed because you had an ordained part of you that God had to quicken at an appointed time. I don't care what you do. If you're a preacher, you are always a preacher. Because it's a gift. And it's there all along, but it's not manifesting until I was always a preacher. But I didn't know it. When I was young and stealing cookies, I didn't know it. But there was a manifestation, and even when I was told by God that I was going to be a pastor, I told Brother Children, I said, Brother Children, I don't feel like a pastor. You know what Brother Children told me? He said, you don't feel like a pastor because it's not in manifestation. He said, the moment you take over as pastor, that spirit will move on you, and that manifestation of a pastor will happen automatically. That's the way it works. Though he was a prophet. Though Jesus was a prophet, though Jesus was a Messiah, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He had to learn.
Amen.
We all have to learn.
Amen.
I don't know why we don't feel okay about Brother Branham having a progressive ministry. We all have.
Come on.
he's no better than we are. You know, he has a progressive ministry just like you. Just like me. I was a pastor when I was just a little bitty snot-nosed kid coming in this door, not even knowing what I was doing.
But I wasn't a manifested pastor.
But now I look back, and if I think about some of the things I thought when I first come here, we laugh at Brother Brown on some of the thoughts he had. We had some too. We all had our thinking. But you know what? We all had to die to those thinking. When the angel comes, you have to lay your thinking down and pick up his revelation. Matter of fact, when you compare what you think it is to the revelation of it, you will gladly lay your thinking down. You're like, how did I ever think of something so stupid? But that's what revelation does. And what he's talking about, what Brother Peter's been bringing out, is that Brother Branham was doing all these things, and God was with him, and God was helping him, and God was dealing with him, but he didn't have a revelation yet.
Wow.
Amen. Even through all of that, he was still probing.
Yeah.
They don't like that term in this message. Brother Branham was probing at it. He proved it when he preached and showed us last Wednesday night. He proved it tonight that Brother Branham was still guessing at it, even though he got better this night than on Wednesday. He's closer to it. And if you don't believe it, go back and read those books. Go back and look at those old quotes, and you'll find out that what Brother Branham said at one point was not what he said at the other, and I can't say nothing else because I'm going to mess him up for the morning. But we already know the story. You know, we already read the book. But it's good to know. It's good to hear. And so I appreciate that, Brother Peter. Thank you. Come on, musicians. Now, tomorrow, service starts at 10. And, go right ahead. And then after service tomorrow, we'll have dinner. Don't forget, we will have Bible study tomorrow night. So we'll come back and what things that maybe we haven't talked about or can't talk about right now, because I'm not trying to step on his, you know. I sit there saying, throw that quote down. Let's get preached, because I know what he's trying to do, and I know what he's trying to do. He's just stringing it out there. But I'm like, come on, Brother Peter. So tomorrow, all the stops are out.
All right.
He can preach it, he can read it, he can quote it, but bring it on. Because after tomorrow, it's mine. But I appreciate it. I appreciate you, Brother Peter. I appreciate you all coming tonight. And do come tomorrow and come expecting. You know, you say, well, oh, I know what he's going to say. No, you don't. No, you don't. You didn't know what he's going to say tonight. You had your idea. But you know what? God knows what he's doing with us. And I love to hear the story. You know, I love to hear the story of Brother Branham's life. And not just God sent a prophet, but he's showing the dirty part. He's showing where the prophet was wrong. They don't want you to do that in this message. The things where Brother Branham said, hey, I had some things wrong. And they don't want you to say that. They don't want you to believe that. They don't want you to see that. But I'm sorry. He was a man. He can be wrong. He can change his mind. So, you know, it's good to be in part of the body that really believes this thing. Amen. And he's from Africa. He's not from around here. We're not pumping him and trying to put things in him. He's telling what he sees from there. And you ought to thank God that somebody can see this over there. Because, I mean, we see this. We know where he's at. We know where he's going. But most people in this message don't. And he can't even preach this at a lot of places. He feels like he can bring this here because he knows we already believe it.
Oh yeah.
I know what he's doing. He can't preach this everywhere. He'll come over here, he'll be polite, but he can't preach this everywhere. Amen. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way in the key of G, for the Comforter abides in me. Come back tomorrow. Come expecting. Be ready for 63-65. I'll just say it like that. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. Yes, he abides. Oh, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He goes with me everywhere. Oh, he is with me everywhere. And he knows my every
every day. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit had control and Jesus satisfies my soul. Since the come